You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Spencer. To Ross, it's a goal! FC United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jake Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Was My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from the bank holiday weekend matches with Leamington and Spennymoor Town.
Hi, I'm Lee Sharp, and you're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. All the action and reaction to FC United's Bank Holiday Monday encounter with Spennymoor Town shortly, but before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with fixture alteration news, as due to council restrictions at Broadhurst Park this weekend, the Women's FA Cup tie between FC United and Didsbury will now take place at New Mills FC this coming Sunday, 2pm kickoff. While the men's team will face Bradford Park Avenue in the league at 3pm at Broadhurst Park, also on Sunday. And speaking of this Sunday's match with Park Avenue, the club will be using the occasion to launch its new debt-busting initiative, BP Boost. Here are fundraising volunteers Pete Cranmer and Josh Dyson with more.
BP Boost is a DF initiative which was the brainchild of George Hayden, the ex-kit man, that we're going to run for the season. The idea is to encourage and help supporters to raise around £20 a month, and if we can get 100 plus signed up, obviously that's a big part of the contribution to the club's debts. Although it's a DF initiative, BP Boost is going to be ring fenced solely for the club's debts. So the idea is we're going to launch at the BPA game. We're going to have a stall location to be confirmed. We've got fundraising packs available for supporters, which gives them some ideas. There's a football card in there that can help start their sort of fundraising campaign. BP Boost will be ring fenced alongside the DF, so we'll be reporting the target separately as well.
So this is, like you say, it's on top of what already happens with DF initiatives like the barrels and the fair share draw and all that. How are you going to be raising this money? Is it through standing orders, or are you looking for fundraising ideas, or what?
Yeah, so currently for this financial year, for the season, the DF is targeted to raise 158k. BP Boost will sit outside of that. The only thing that's going to be different is the barrels are going to be rebranded as BP Boost collection points. See the barrels today have been repainted. They look a bit half naked because we're waiting for the wrapping to go around the barrels. The idea is that supporters can deposit the money either directly into the DF or on match days deposit into the barrels.
And are we looking for new fundraising ideas as well as a club? Because we used to do that a lot in the past. Is that still something that you'd be looking to encourage?
Yeah, the committee's, we've got a number of events scheduled in. We've already got a date penciled in for end of season supporters party and a Christmas party. And Vinnie Thompson has been quite active in securing dates and acts for soul nights and comedy nights. So watch the space.
I think the big thing is getting people to that might not have been involved before doing smaller things. So if someone wants to organise a do in the ground and they've got an idea, I think you should be a sort of push to come forward and say, actually, I think I can do this. And it's kind of saying, right, you want to do that, we'll help you and we'll sort of do the kind of the work behind that. But if someone comes up with an idea, if someone has got a contact for a band, say, or a comedian, and they want actually, you know, give them a slot on a Thursday. If we can get a gig here on a Thursday night, and great, do it, and we'll see what we can raise.
Just one more thing. It's really an ideal opportunity for supporters, you know, out-of-town supporters, supporters from afar to get involved as well and help out with the fundraising. So, yeah, please support it.
Pete Cranmer and Josh Dyson there. And for more information on the BP Boost and how to get involved, please visit the fundraising section on the official website, www.fc-utd.co.uk. To Saturday's football now, and following an enforced break, FC United returned to Broadhurst Park as they hosted Leamington.
So it's a throw into Leamington, about 10 yards or so from the FC United corner flag over on the park side. Ball played in towards the FC United penalty area, now fed through there over on the left hand side. Lynch puts a tackle in, ball breaks to Kieran Dunbar and he smashes it into the top left hand corner, and FC United trail are here at Broadhurst Park on 8 minutes.
Well, Dunbar scored on his debut for the Brakes this time last season. He's gone and done it again, and I noticed Statton's on the ground in the penalty area injured.
Yeah.
Bad start all round.
What do you make of that, Emily?
Well, I said that not long ago, Leamington looked the most adventurous going forward. They've got more pace as they're moving the ball into the box, and you know, a couple of challenges came in, but he managed to feed the ball away, and there was only one outcome. As soon as it fell, there was no other red players around, and he's fired it into the top corner. It was a nice goal, a good finish from Leamington. He'll be disappointed in FC in how it's come about. But it's just the pace of Leamington heading forward, is it's just been a bit quicker than FC. Like you said, it's a bit slow, it's a bit sluggish. The ball spent a lot of time in the air, it's very scrappy, but when it has been on the ground, Leamington have made the most of it.
Tatton to take it. Finds Lynch. Lynch to Tatton, back to Lynch. Lynch now, midway into FC United's half with the ball. Chips the ball over the top to Dickinson. Dickinson wins the flick on, but it was defended by Mace and eventually cleared by Leamington. Good stuff there once again from Baird. Baird with nice ball to find Logan. Lays it off and Dickinson can't get to that ball. And now Leamington break over the halfway line. Nice ball. Good control from Stenson. Stenson lines up a shot. Well, slots it past Krellin. And Leamington take a two-goal lead here at Broadhurst Park with 20 minutes left to play.
Tom, thanks for joining us after that. What's your take on that game?
Disappointing after the Altrincham game. Wanted to build on something there. I thought we looked a little bit lethargic. We looked nervous in possession of the ball. Don't think they're a better side than us, but we've made them look better than us. And yeah, very disappointed to not get something out of the game.
The game stats suggest that, you know, we had 70% possession in that game, but we didn't really do much with the ball up until about with 10 minutes to go when it got really frantic. But it was just a bit flat, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah, it was very flat. We kept it in our own third, but it was just so slow. There was no energy there. And then when we got the ball into the final third, we didn't do the right things. Nobody got to the byline and whipped a cross in. We kind of panicked. It was all a little bit rushed when we got in good areas. And we've got to learn from that. We've got to learn from that quick.
I mean, what's it all down to? Because you have that second half against Altrincham where it's like electric. And to come back to this a couple of weeks, is it because of the gap between the games or what?
No, it shouldn't be. That's down to individuals. We're kind of, at the minute, we're kind of starting slow, and we're looking for a trigger, and lads have got to be going to make them triggers themselves. We're waiting for a big tackle or a shot or keep to pull out a worldy save, and you're not always going to get a trigger like that, so we've got to go get the trigger ourselves. We've got to take games to them. We've got to get the ball down, and we've got to move it quick. We've got to do things with pace, and we're not at the minute. Like I said before, we look a little bit lethargic, a little bit nervous, and that's not what I wanted from this squad. So we've got to have a good, long, hard look at it. We've got a couple of days, then we go again. Fingers crossed we can put it right. But some lads will hold their hands up today. They weren't good enough, and we've got to look at that and maybe make some changes.
Where does that spark come from, that trigger? I mean, today it looked like the trigger was actually coming, surprisingly, from the goalkeeper and the two centre-backs. They were the only ones who were passing the ball in front of players to run onto. I mean, what needs to change? Is it midfield? Is it attack or what?
Yeah, well, that says it all, doesn't it? If your keeper and your two centre-halves are the most comfortable on the ball. We're probably missing a typical number 10 who can get hold of the ball and create things and play them little thread balls in for the strikers. Kurt's played the 10 today, but he's a number 9. He needs to be in front of goal. So we're playing players maybe out of position just because we wanted to play that formation, and we did well against Alti. So again, it's something we've got to look at, and if we've got to dip into the market, then that's what we've got to do.
I mean, in midway through that second half, you did make a couple of changes, and Tatton became more influential in the game. Logan also came on. Is that something you might be looking towards for Spennymoor, because they were the ones injecting that pace in the second half?
Yeah, of course. Joel's obviously struggled with his knee for a long time, so it was important to protect him. He's come on, he's done all right, he looks lively. Same with Harry as well. He brought some energy onto it when he came on. So, yeah, not good enough from us today. We're making no disrespect to Leamington, but not the top table toppers. We're making them look good sides, and we shouldn't be doing that. People should be coming to Broadhurst Park and fearing us, and it doesn't look like that at the minute.
And finally, heading into Spennymoor, how's the squad shaping up?
Yeah, fine, no new injuries. Obviously, it was good for Harry to get through that game, good for Joel to get through that game. So, apart from Brad and Lloydie, then we've got a full squad to choose from.
FC United player-manager Tom Greaves there speaking after his side's 2-0 defeat against Leamington on Saturday afternoon. Not much time to dwell, though, for FC United, as 48 hours later, it was off up north to County Durham for the Reds as FC United travelled to Spennymoor Town. To hear if the Reds could bounce back from that Leamington defeat, it's now time to hand over to FC Live.
Welcome everyone to Brewery Field. The first thing we need to do is I need to apologise to my commentary team for forgetting that the Atmos mic was turned up, which meant you could hear all the music louder than you probably wanted to. So sorry Emily Maguire and sorry Stato Paul for putting you through that last 40 minutes while we've just been sitting here.
It was torturous,
but we're here now and everyone's happy. Welcome to the North East, Spennymoor Town against FC United coming your way very shortly, but we'll kick things off with team news. And it's a four changes, Paul, from Saturday's match against Leamington.
I make it four changes from the starting 11.
So coming in to the starting 11, we've got Jack Bannister, who of course was he didn't come on, but he was a substitute on Saturday. We've also got Tom Greaves, who starts, Joel Logan, who starts, and who was the other one, Paul?
Harry Winter.
Good point. And Harry Winter makes the starting appearance as well as captain this afternoon. I think we joked about this on It'll Be Off earlier, but you know, we came out of pre-season going, it's nice that Tom's got his settled 11 all nailed down. Obviously injuries come into play, but it's more changes, and that makes it difficult, doesn't it, Emily, to get anything solid going?
Yeah, definitely. Too many changes, but after Saturday's performance, I'm not surprised he's forced into making these changes, because if you've got players out there that aren't working well together, and we're not getting the results, then they need to look at that. Players coming back from injury that would normally be as part of what you'd think is Tom Greaves' settled 11 are coming back in to the game today. We're just hoping that Harry Winter and Joel Logan can follow on from the positive impact that I did think that they had when they did come in on Saturday.
It looks like it's going to be 4-4-2, obviously with Bannister on one wing, Joel Logan on the other, and Tom Greaves and Kurt Willoughby up front. And one of the things we were missing on Saturday, and I think that did come across in the commentary, was a sense of not just urgency, but a sense of movement as well up front. We saw Lynch and Baird have the ball, and they didn't really have anyone to pass to, really, did they?
No, I think not just up front, it's the midfield was really lacking on Saturday. And, you know, they've made the changes in there. You look at Harry Winter and Joel Logan coming in. And Tom Greaves starting himself up front, I think, is a real positive as well. For that attitude, I think, you know, you need somebody to be a leader and take on the challenges ahead. And who better to do that than Tom Greaves?
Well, that does beg the question now, Paul, and a few people have said this on the forum. Is Tom Greaves better suited to just be a manager?
Yes.
And not a player. But then again, needs must at the moment, because who else is going to play number nine?
I think that's something he has to address in the next few weeks.
That'd be great. No, go on. Sorry, Paul.
I think that's something he has to address in the next few weeks. If he hasn't got the players available that he needs, he might have to jettison one or two and get another one in.
Well, easier said than done, of course, on both counts. But both teams have now gone in after their warm-up, and you might be able to tell it is a bit windy here. And here at Brewery Fields, there is a slope on the pitch, so got wind and you've got the slope.
Well, we were tilting at windmills on Saturday very unsuccessfully, but I think the message today is more is less.
Spennymoor
have just won at Boston.
They've not had the best of starts, but they did get a win at the weekend. So what can we expect?
They're looking for their first home win of the season. So they're in a similar boat to us in that they've not got the results they expected early doors. But they have got a win under the belts now, and they'll be hoping for a bit more momentum from that.
Here's Brogan now crossing over the halfway line, and now marching down the left-hand side, gets the ball to Johnson. Johnson now for Spennymoor. On his right foot, comes in field with it. Plays it to the edge of the box. Nice little layoff there by Taylor. Johnson carries on his run, and it's got to be a penalty. Yeah. And it is a penalty to Spennymoor. And FC United undone there for the first time in the afternoon by what Spennymoor have been doing all afternoon. Passing and moving.
Yeah, passing and moving, and nice short passes right on the edge of the 18-yard box. He's burst through, and yeah, it was a clear-cut penalty that he's pulled him back and prevented a goal-scoring opportunity.
Well, Glenn Taylor's going to take this penalty, and well, Billy Crellin's been, he's done a few good saves this afternoon already. Can he do another? But with 15 minutes on the clock in the second half, Spennymoor with an opportunity here to take the lead at Brewery Fields. Referee making sure everyone's outside the penalty area, apart from the goalkeeper and the penalty taker, of course. And here comes the penalty taker, Taylor, now lining up a shot straight down the middle into the roof of the net. And Spennymoor take the lead. Long ball over the top there for Spennymoor, and Hall gets the ball for Spennymoor, gets the ball back to Ramshaw. First time pass over the top. Hall's got acres of room here over on the right hand side. Cross comes into the back post. In fact, it was to the near post. And it's very, very comfortable. And that's goodnight Vienna here at Spennymoor as Adam Boys makes it 2-0 to the home side. Full time here at Brewery Field, and FC United going down by 2-0. Both goals coming in the second half in what's been a bit of a disappointing outing from FC United. Still involved at half time, but the fizz and the spark of what there was in the first half became ever increasingly non-existent in the second half, and in the end Spennymoor's fitness and desire told, Emily.
Yeah, it certainly did. I thought coming out in the second half with the slight downhill would have suited FC, and it did to start off with. We showed signs of what we could do, but it didn't last long enough. We weren't keeping possession in the right areas. We weren't supporting our teammates when they were in possession. We made Spennymoor work hard. You know, we kept them out for a long period of the game, and it wasn't until the last, you know, 5 minutes that they go 2-0 up and really put the game to bed. But The difference was the work rate, like you're saying, and that is a fitness issue. You know, people being able to run off the ball and support the player in possession, and the speed, the change of pace. You know, we seem to play all of our games in the same gear, and it's just the same pace throughout, and not having any shots.
And the thing is that if we go back to the first half, what we talked about at half time was the fact that when Spennymoor had the ball in the final third, they always had at least three options of a pass, and a purposeful pass. I'm not talking like a square ball to feet.
I'm talking like
a through ball with purpose. Every time, in the rare occasions that happened for FC United, that was not happening at all.
And
that's elementary stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that when we keep possession, we tend to keep it sideways or backwards, and we don't really seem to make progress when we have the ball. And we seem to be looking at the moment for the long ball option, you know, hitting it forward towards the centre forwards. And Paul Willoughby today has had he's had the hardest of games because he's been alone for the majority of it. You can see that he's put the effort in, and he's put the work rate in, but any time he's had the ball, he's had nobody to help him out, and so possession's been lost easily. But yeah, you know, going forward to collectively together, it doesn't seem to be happening. There's a lot of players that are watching, you know, they find themselves either ball watching or player watching, and watching to wait for somebody else to do the job for them, and not taking control of that themselves. You know, there's times when in the first half in particular we saw Joe Logan and the space that he had, but he doesn't seem to be confident enough to be taking the players on and getting in behind. He started to do that at the start of the second half, but just not enough. And so it was a better performance than Saturday for me, you know, watching.
I mean, to be fair, you're not wrong, but there's going to be people going, great. I mean,
I know it doesn't say a lot, really, because I mean, the performance on Saturday wasn't great at all, and there wasn't many positives to take from it.
I mean, there's many layers of this game that you could go into. I mean, just the lack of spark and dynamism in the first half, the lack of, I mean, the thing for me was towards the end of that second half there, I'm when I say towards the end, I mean like from 70 minutes, we just lost so much steam in our defensive play. And there was times there where Spennymoor were waltzing through, and
yeah, these are players coming in from midfield areas, and the runs are all coming from there.
And just to be clear, I'm not having to go love Lynch and Baird in that, because those two were solid again.
Yeah, and you know, there's only so much that they can do. There's only so many things that they can stop. They can't stop it. And the same as Krillin, you know, he's had another absolutely fantastic game. He's prevented it from being 4-0. You know, he's had two fantastic saves that have kept them out. Yeah, but when you've got players running from different angles and at pace towards you, it is very hard for you to defend. But that's something that we're not doing at the other end. We're not making the opposition's defence work quite as hard.
I mean, let's go to our statistician, Susie Dent, who's been quietly sitting in Dictionary Corner the last 5 minutes. Paul?
Well, it's a broken record, this, I'm afraid.
How many shots on target did we have there?
Zero.
What was the possession stats?
It wasn't too bad, actually. Okay. We had around about, I think it was around about 45 by the end of the match. So it wasn't outrageous, but again, you know, has already been
as
mentioned.
As long as we got beat without keeping the ball, that's the most important thing.
I think it's already been aired the fact that we don't seem to have the fitness to compete for 90 minutes. And this has been evident at other games this season. Stockport, we were run ragged, really. Mm-hmm. And that's probably not the only game. Ashton finished stronger than we did in the home game. Boston were stronger at the end of the match when we played them at Broadhurst. And I think there's a fitness issue. There's also the fact that we've fought hard today to keep the score down, almost. The problem has been that by doing that, we've negated any threat at the other end. And you could argue we almost got to the end of the game there and only lost to a penalty. And we conceded in the 90th minute to wrap the game up. So in some ways, we have improved. I think the bar we set on Saturday was very, very low. So this had to be a better performance.
My great-grand could have done Limpo under that bar, to be fair.
But, yeah, so we've improved on the last outing, but there's still... we've got a few days now before the next game, which is Sunday, isn't it? We've got a lot of work to do behind the scenes to improve in all areas. I think defensively we've shown some resilience today, which at least is something, but we've got to... I think the midfield have got to work better to link the two ends of the pitch up. They've got to link that better with the back four, and they've got to provide better support for the strikers.
Steve Turner's been in touch to say, really don't know what to say except, why did we wear blue?
Why did we wear blue? Well,
we wore red on Saturday.
The red's in the wash.
Good, yeah. Good. See that? We weren't out dead logically.
Yeah, we've been here many times before with the change of kits.
But that also points to another problem. Four changes to the starting 11 from Saturday. And Saturday had a couple of changes in that starting 11 too. Obviously, some of them are enforced, obviously, due to injuries, but we're not getting anything settled here. And that means that, unfortunately, when you are moving forward with the ball, you are going to just adopt a very basic and less dynamic attacking play, aren't you?
Yeah, no, definitely. Especially the systems that, you know, he's trying to implement. And, you know, we saw that today with Tatum being played as your wing back. But he needs to be working with the same players in front of him. He had a problem on Saturday, I felt, on their side. You know, they weren't linking well together. We weren't getting much luck there. But then if you don't play regularly, you don't get to know, you know, the movement of the player ahead of you. Your forwards don't get to know the midfielders and where you're going to most likely to be. Where you want to receive the ball, how you want to receive the ball, and it's, you know, that when you watch Spennymoor, and you see how they move the ball quickly around the last, you know, the final You're third.
Very envious.
Because that's what, you can see that with the players that we've got, they should be able to do the same sort of things. But they knew where they were. You know, you've got Ramshaw who's bringing all of the other players around him into the game. His movement was across the full pitch. You know, he wasn't in one place.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? You're saying the word movement.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, Tooten as well. And Taylor.
Taylor, fantastic. All of their players. You know, it was them three in particular that were drawing everybody else in. But it's because they know each other's style of play. They know each other where each other are going to be. And they know the type of ball to play, and like you say, if we keep changing things around, then we don't get that settled approach to the match, and the players don't get to know each other. But it's difficult because, I mean, where do you go from these performances? How do you make the changes?
Well, it's just some other correspondence that's come in. Steve Turner, Crellin, Baird and Lynch can't do it all on their own. And we're saying basically that Crellin kept us in the game in the first half with some great saves, and Baird and Lynch won every single header pretty much. And there wasn't much they could do with the two goals. Someone called Swamper. There's no pace.
Never heard of him.
In the FC team. I think he dug under Manchester Airport once. There's no pace in the FC United team, unfortunately. Forget possession. No shots says everything.
So. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's true. You watch the players and you think, you know, if when we have that opportunity in the space ahead of us, they're not running into it. But is that because they know they're not quick enough to beat the last man, to beat the defender ahead of them? They can't play the ball around them because they're not going to get onto the end of it. We're not. But without that, it is very difficult to create any opportunities and get the shots away. I think we had a moment, a couple of moments. I think Joel Logan could have had a shot, but he opted to try and pass it, and we lost possession. And it's somebody just getting in and around the box and just saying, right, I'm just going to hit one, just have a go.
Andy Preston said, no finger pointing, but if Sir Matt Busby was in charge of this team, we'd still be dire. Sell your quality players and do your best with the dregs. It doesn't work. To be fair, the team, and I've read that out for a reason, the team we've got is a good team on paper. It should be working better than this.
I agree.
Thanks, Paul.
I think we've got players. We've got players with ability in this side, and the secret is to try and blend it so that we get results with it. And at the moment, that's looking a distant dream. But I don't know.
It just gets harder and harder after, you know, every defeat. It becomes more and more difficult as a player to get yourself back up and back out there. And then your confidence starts to go, and you start making mistakes that you wouldn't previously. But that's where the coaching staff, backroom staff, they need to be. That's what they should be dealing with. They should be bringing things into the training to make sure that they're handling the players' mental attitude as well as the fitness element.
Well, Morris has been in touch and he says that we need someone in to improve the fitness and still some basic organisation. And Swampy also says at this level you have to play with pace and keep your shape. Yep. And that does go back to experience. And, you know, we're playing against Jason Ainsley's side here. He's been manager of this club for 12 years.
He knows
he's got numerous promotions. Yep. And let's be honest, just about missed out on another for last season.
I've got a question.
Yeah, I've not finished my thought yet. The thing is that we are missing that experience. And that goes back to, do we need a director of football? Or do we need someone in that coaching staff who can instill that level of nous that goes, this is what we need to do here?
I think we do need an older head on the touchline to help. My question, though, is this.
Is this to me or the listener?
It's to everyone.
Yay. Group answer, everyone.
We're in August.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this squad that we've got now better than the squad we had last August when we had a similar start?
On paper, yes.
On the pitch?
No.
So we're worse.
Anyway, good game, everyone. Good game. Well played. Anyway, so any other bits of correspondence? What time do you need to go?
I'm going to
Well, thank you, Emily Maguire, for making it to an away game. Well done, just round the corner. It's a bit lazy. I'll see you back at York, all right? Yeah. Right, anyway, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, we don't do Harrogate anymore.
That leaves me and Paul, who sadly got to get on the team bus back as well. I mean, I enjoy our trips on the team bus, Paul, but it's going to be a very quiet coach on the way back
again
this evening. And just to say some other correspondence, I know it's early doors, this is from Melvin. I know it's early doors, but the more you lose now, the more you have to do last orders.
I'm going to see early doors on Thursday. I don't know if that's relevant.
I think that's what he's, I think that's what he's trying to do. I wasn't going to fall for it. I'm just going, no, I'm not plugging it. Decent players, some with experience. However, we're lacking experience off the pitch, and that's not a dig at the management. It's just a fact, and that's what we're touching upon there. Yeah. There is a lack of nous.
I think if we've got the experience off the pitch, it can mask some of the inexperience on the pitch.
Ted Stryker's been in. We've got the right players, but we're not necessarily doing the right. We're not doing the things in the right order. So it's Les Dawson on piano, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. I want thanks to Emily. So Paul, next up is Bradford Park Avenue on Sunday, back at Broadhurst Park. Well, are you worried?
Am I worried? No, I'm not worried, to be honest, because I like to think it's still August. We've seen August out now, and we've only got one win on the board. But as we know from last season and other seasons, things can change. So it's not completely doom and gloom yet.
What needs to change?
I mean, apart from the results.
Yes.
I do think that there has to be some honesty spoken in the dressing room and in training. I think we have to look at how we can be more constructive going forward. Because at the moment, what we're putting up in terms of an attack just isn't firing, it's not working. So maybe we have to look at the personnel, maybe how they're used. I think Willoughby is being wasted unless he's at the blunt end, personally.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because, I mean, what do you do? Because,
you know,
at the minute, it's so fundamental.
If you look at the team, if you look at the team at the moment and chances fall to the players inside the box, who would you think they are definitely going to score?
I thought you were going to say when the ball falls in the box, who do you think is going to get it next? I was about to say the defender.
Apart from the bloke in the stand. You know, that's the thing. You know, if chances fall to players, I mean, like Logan had a chance in the game, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he chose not to shoot, you know. Now, that's basically a lack of confidence, isn't it?
Confidence breeds confidence. Yeah. And at the minute, we haven't got any.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
But a win can change it all, as we know. And maybe that's the Bradford game.
Well, so what we're saying is that this is all the fault of Chester.
Well, we need a bit of luck at the moment, don't we? We need a bit of fortune, and that can change things. We've seen this many times.
I mean, the only problem is we've got now. You talk about confidence, that kind of thing. I can already predict what the message board is going to be like this evening, and
predictable.
It's going to be a bit predictable, but you know. What we see here and what we portray to the armchair army is pretty much what's going on. I mean, you only have to listen to Tom Grievous' interview.
Yeah.
There is no argument. We are playing not very well.
The players and the management have not set out to lose today. Now, okay, when they cross the white line, things go out of their control sometimes. Some things are in their control, though. And that's the things we've got to look at.
Well, we'll be looking at them again this coming Sunday. Don't forget, it is Sunday, not Saturday. It's Sunday at Broadhurst Park as FC United travel to Broadhurst Park to take on Bradford Park
Fortress
Avenue.
Fortress
Broadhurst Park, where we've not won a home game all season.
We've not got a point yet.
Our point. But saying that, that's, you compare it to the away form, it's only 3 points better off. So
yeah, well,
it's not that great a start. But anyway, onwards and upwards.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get something better.
And regardless, FC on Radio will be there.
We will be there on Sunday. James Quinn will be joining us. And don't forget, Early Doors is available at some point in the near future at a theatre or arena near you.
Yes.
Go to Event Tim and see if you have any better luck. Anyway.
You might get a season ticket.
That is the end of FC Live and one more cup of coffee. For podcast listeners, This Club Is My Club is out shortly. For podcast listeners, we'll go straight to our post-match interview with Tom Greaves. But thanks to Stato Paul, thank you to Stephen Wood, and thank you to Emily Maguire for joining us. Thank you to the Armchair Armour, and thank you to ConstructiveCodeine.com for once again sponsoring this delightful FC Live broadcast 400 miles away from home. And we'll see you all much closer to home on Sunday. See what I did there, Paul? It was beautiful. Excellent. Wasn't it? Take care, everyone. Bye-bye. Tom, a big thank you for joining us.
No,
another difficult afternoon, really, there. It's just, well, I mean, what do you say?
We set out to not concede early, like we've been doing. We wanted to turn them early doors and then earn the right to play. We did that to a certain extent. We stopped them playing. We kept our shape well. We're just not doing the basics right at the minute. It's the 5-yard passes, it's the winning second ball, it's winning your headers, it's getting balls into the box. It's the work rate and the desire and the heart. And to say I'm disappointed is an understatement today.
I mean, talk about the basics. One of the things that it looked like in the first half, the difference between the two forward lines, if I could say it, bring this up, is the fact that when Spennymoor had the ball in the final third, either Ramshaw or Tooten, they always had at least three options.
Yeah.
And they were all possible passes that were purposeful passes. Whereas us going forward, we were looking at second balls only.
Yeah.
And it's... How do we go about that?
Yeah, I've just said that in the dressing room there. There's nobody who wants it. There's nobody who wants to go and affect a game. There's no one who wants to go grab it by the scruff of the neck and take it to the opposition. And that comes with confidence and fitness as well. I don't think we look fit enough. That's probably down to myself and the coaching staff. But yeah, the movement's poor. Everything today is massively disappointing. And I've let the boys know that in there. And they know, they fully know what it takes to play for this club. And more than half of them in there today, they don't deserve to wear the shirt.
Well, if we could talk, 0-0 at half time, still in the game, primarily thanks to Crellin in a way, and the winning headers from Lynch and Baird, who once again were decent despite the fact they conceded two goals this afternoon. In the second half, you talk about the fitness, it kind of, there was elements when Spennymoor were on the attack where we just looked like we were walking defending. It was like it was almost like a mess about in the park, you know, when your mates are going home at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you're like,
obviously it comes with confidence and stuff like that, but there's no excuse for not working hard. I've never been the best player in the world, but I'll always wear my heart on my sleeve and I'll give 110%. And if you're shattered, tell me, you can come off. There's always players on the bench that are itching to get on, but the body language, there's nobody at the minute who's grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck saying, I'll be the man to change this game, and going ahead and doing it.
Is that disappointing? Obviously we know we've got young players, but we do have a lot of experienced players who you'd expect to be going, you'd be doing that job.
Yeah, a lot of experience in there. Like we said, we maybe had a false pre-season because we looked very good. We looked like we were out fighting teams. We looked like we were getting the ball down and playing. And something somewhere is just not clicking right now. And it's not great. And to be honest, we deserve to be exactly where we are in the table. And it's getting embarrassing.
Now, how do we identify where the problems are and how we can change it? How do you do that?
We've got to speak to players. We've got to, if they don't want to be here, that's how they can go. We can get other players in. That's no problem. People want to come and play for FC United, and they want to come wear the heart on the sleeves and have that heart and desire. And that's all I ask from the lads. And if they don't want that, then contract or non-contract, they can go. That's absolutely fine. We've got to watch the games back. We've got to get them in training, working hard, and working on different things and the things that we're making mistakes on. But it's not even the complicated stuff. It's the basics, like I keep saying. It's the 5-yard passes. It's just the wanting to go win games and go and affect games. And if you're a winger, get out wide, get the ball into the box. But there's none of it. There's none of it. We haven't tested their keeper once today.
I suppose it's just on the training ground, I suppose, isn't it?
Of course. Last season, when we went to a 3-5-2 or a 5-3-2, whichever way you want to look at it, we did that because we were conceding goals, and we've gone back to that today. And like I said, in the first half, we told them to turn them. And let me and Kurt just chase everything down, and to a certain extent we did it. Once they've scored the penalty, it just looked like it sucked the life out of us. Last season we were going goals down, two goals down, three goals down, and you never thought we were out of the game. And there's just not that feel at the minute, and something somewhere has got to click for us, or else, well, it's going to be a very long season for us.
So we've got Bradford Park Avenue on Sunday.
Yep.
I know it's another club close to your heart. Going into this game now, it does feel like, you know, the confidence is just taking a kick in every game we play, more or less.
I mean,
how do you ensure that if we do go 1-0 down, which statistically we do. We go down. Whenever I've watched FC United over the last 12 years, we always concede a goal early.
Yep.
How do we get back from that and on our feet and to an FC United team that we've all come to know and love?
Yeah, it's down to individuals and leaders. I brought these lads in because I thought these were lads that wear the heart on the sleeve and they really, really dig deep for the teammates, and I'm not seeing that at the minute. I'm not seeing it from the older lads, I'm not seeing it from the younger lads, so that's something that we've got to address. We've got to get the lads in training and working hard. Like I say, we don't look fit enough. The fitness comes first for me, and we don't look fit enough, and I'll take the blame for that. It's been a long pre-season, we've had lots of games, so we should be there. So whether we're not looking after ourselves outside of the football club, then that's down to individuals. But this club doesn't deserve to be where it is at the minute, and it's getting tough.
And personnel wise you made 4 changes today to the team. Yep. That played on Saturday, which also had changes, and obviously injuries take the toll, but where are you at the moment with what your starting 11 is, your strongest starting 11? Because there's players who are missing today, and obviously there's,
to be honest, the lads that are not playing, they can't grumble. The lads, if they're not playing on Sunday, they can't grumble, because at the minute not one of them deserves to keep the shirt. So it's a difficult one. We'll go again, and it sometimes comes down to, well, more than often than not, it comes down to training and performances on the pitch. So it's something that again we'll have to look at, but at the minute not one of them can grumble if they're on the bench on Sunday.
FC United return to Broadhurst Park this weekend to take on Bradford Park Avenue. Please note that due to council restrictions, this match will take place on Sunday afternoon. It is still, though, a 3 p.m. kickoff. Adults £12, concessions £7, under 18s £3. But as always, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Sunday afternoon from 2:30 p.m, right here on your very own FC Radio. That's the end of This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.